Perek Gimel. Okay? So, we left off in Perek Bet that he has now changed the names of Hoshea's children, and then he's given them the symbolic. First, he's given the angry discussion, and he said, okay, but it'll be okay eventually. Right? Perek Gimel picks up, and God plays with his head again. And he says, Vayomer Adonai Eli, Od lech ehav isha ahuvat rea umina afet kavat Adonai b'nei Israel v'im ponim Elohim achirim v'aveh ashishei anavim. So what does he tell him? Go, love another one, right? Ah, so good. This is one of the weirdest things about this, right? Is that he doesn't, instead of saying marry, he says love, right? And if you read, look at the Dot Mikra, he notes that this is different from any other command we've ever found by a Navi. Every other Navi is asked to do actions. And he is asked to do something in the heart. And we don't give her a name. Now, that does lead a lot of commentaries to assume that this is the original woman, right? That it's remarry. It's remarry. Well, God can make whatever exceptions. Perigimel. But many of the classical Mepharshim assume not. So if you look, for example, the Rikara, he just says, Levad me ishto, right? Another woman, meaning instead of his wife. What? Right, aside for your wife. Levad.
You mean that you're still married to your wife?
Yeah, right, meaning, right, marry a woman, meaning besides for your wife, right? Now, why is this, right? Now, what's Ahuvat Reya? With someone who is beloved to her husband, right? That's probably what this means. Umin Ayefet, but she is committing adultery. Now it's not clear whether it means she will commit adultery or she is an adulterous woman. Right, so the Ibn Ezra says, "Lech ahov isha, chena li isha, ki zeh mishpat lashon isha, ki lo iskir zona, va'ed ve'kra levi ve'fine." Vata.
What difference does that make thematically?
What difference does that make thematically? So what difference does that make?
Who is this? Well, if it's the same.
Right. If you want the English translation of the pasuk, the whole thing is right. Hashem said to me, "Go again, love a woman beloved by another, and an adulteress, even as Hashem loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins." Okay.
Well, it says in Sabaria translation, "Love the cups of the grape."
Yeah, sure. Well, so you tell me, right? Symbolically, what's the difference? What's the difference?
If it caused her to be an adulterer or she is already an adulterer.
Right, I mean, so is it that she's currently being adulterous, right, and yet I want you to love her because this is God saying that even though the Jews are currently worshipping Avodah Zarah, right, that's the organizing metaphor here, I still love them, right? Or, right, is this a prediction that the Jews are going to continue to
be adulterous?
Right, exactly, right, that they're going to just like, you know, you have by Moshe, right? So the right, Dot Mikra points out that you could read it similar to what does Hashem say to Moshe right before Moshe dies? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, in chasho chev im avotecha, v'kam ha'am hazeh v'sanach arei Elohei nechar ha'aretz. Right? That as soon as you die, Moshe, the Jews are going to go and worship Avodah Zarah. So you could read this pasuk not as they are currently, right? I mean, they are, but that the main point here is that she will, right? That he's predicting it, and nevertheless, right, God is going to use this as a metaphor for the way that God loves them, despite the fact that she's not a great person. And again, as we've talked about before, right? The mashal he then gives is like God loves Bnei Israel, though they turn to other gods, right? Now again, right? Besides the fact that about Zara in general, you have the metaphor of husband and wife that is particularly appropriate or inappropriate, I don't know, when you're talking about Baal, right? Obviously, because Baal literally means husband, right? Or husband, right? Yeah, yes. I mean that is part of it, is right. There is a power dynamic that it's picking up on. Yeah. Now it's not totally clear why what it is that they love cakes of raisins or wine or whatever it is.
For the Rashi translation, it says goblets of grapes.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's, you have both possibilities. Yeah, it's goblets of grapes or whatever it is. Right, meaning that, I mean, it's probably something to do with the connection between alcohol and inappropriate behavior, right, where alcohol is connected that way. Right, alternatively, right, the way that the Radak has it is that part of what's leading them to abandon God and go to the others is a hedonism, right? That it's not just they're worshiping idols, but they're committed to hedonism, right? And that's what's going on here. So he says, go, right? And now again, right? It is striking that, as Kobe pointed out, this pasuk doesn't focus just on the action, right? It seems to push past that to the emotional state. Right, and that is, right. That is a very powerful, probably a deeper connection with her, right? And to highlight the fact that the connection that God has with the Jewish people is deep, real, not just about actions, but is whatever that means.
Standing in for God in like a parable.
I mean, probably, right? At some level, his actions are standing in for God. That's exactly the point.
Is this meant to signify to the Jews, like, how God still cares about them?
Yeah. So now again, the question of whether this is there currently, right, whether it's future tense or present tense is very important, right? So the Abraham Manel just says, Hakavana kolel dati anivuazot hi liya'ed uluvayer maishi kre li Yisrael begalut God is saying, right, how is my Ashkacha going to be with you when you are in Galut? Right? Is it going to be with them or not? Which depends on whether you're going to be involved in Avodah Zarah. Right now, how does he understand it? That God is saying, I will be with you as long as you don't worship Avodah Zarah. Even if you have other terrible sins, as long as it's Avodah Zarah per se you don't do, then I will still be with you, right? But one of the major questions here, right, is Hosea describing the current relationship that the Jews have with God, or is he describing what they're going to do, right? The Malbim takes it a different way, right? Because we've just suggested that the reason he's told to love her is because it's a deeper connection, right? But the Malbim is a very interesting shot. What do you think he says? No, he says, take her as a lover, right? Why?
Don't marry her.
Why?
Because God helping the Jewish people when they're sinning it's not even a good relationship.
So he takes it actually in a positive direction, which is if you are sleeping with someone, right? If he has a lover who is committing adultery, is it really adultery? No, she's not faithful, but it's not formally adultery because he's only her, right? She's only his lover. And why is that important? Exactly. And therefore, the Jews, even though they're going to be committing, right, they're going to be worshiping with Zara, God is saying, Ki ilu, I'm treating it as if they're my lover and not my wife, which lowers the severity of what they're doing. Well, the whole thing is weird, right? Right, and then he's saying, right, that the mashal is that, right, God loves Israel with an ava that znut is not really going to fully undermine the relationship. And then he said there's a second part to it, which is that a lover or a mistress, the expressions of love might be in private. Right? They might be in private. Right? You would, no, not always. Not always, but right? But you would hope it's in private, right? Because what God is saying, that even if you don't see it, right? Even if you don't see my love, it's there. Right? So that could be another image.
I just feel like not being married, that indicates there's less of a connection.
It could be, but it... Okay. Anyways, right? So then you get Pasuk Bet. So he goes, Ve'ekra li b'chamisha sar kasef v'chomer sorim v'letech seorim. So I bought her for myself, right, with 15 pieces of silver and an omer and a half, chomer and a half of barley. Okay, now of course, if you think that he actually married her rather than took her as a lover, then obviously what this means is he bought her, right, or married her, right, he paid kesef kiddushin. If you're like the Malbim, that, so how does the Malbim get out of it? Well, he says, ekra is not liknot, it's closer to what word? The score, same word as to rent, right? It's more of a not permanent relationship there, whatever exactly that is going on, right? So he bought her for, or entered into a relationship with her, with this Omer, right? Va'omari la yavim rabim tishvili. And I told her, listen, be with me for a long time. Don't commit adultery. That's like a great way to start a marriage. Right?
That's why they got the prenups.
Right? Don't commit adultery. Don't be with another man. I will be right, yours. Now, the Reem about the Rabbi Lazar Mimbal again, he also agrees with the Malbim, right? He just says in two words, Bekrali. What does that mean? I rented her. B'chamisha tzar kesef le'etnan, for the payment of a prostitute. Right? As he goes to a prostitute, it's basically, is that, yes, right? That's how he's reading it, is that I basically hired a, right, prostitute, but told her that she has to be faithful to me, right? That's always a very effective strategy there.
But saying the Jews are always acting like a,
But right, that's exactly the point, right? Is that the mashal is very clear here, right? Is I told her, right, be faithful to me, and I'll come back to you, but there is this obvious, very difficult thing. And Malbim adds that it seems to be, based on the next pasuk, what's hard here isn't just that he says, I'll be back. Right? It's that it's going to be a long time. Right? Kiyamim rabim yeshuv in Israel, ein melech vein tzar, ein zevach vein matzeva, ein eifodu trafim. It'll be a long time when the Jews have no king and no officers, no karbanot, and no matzeva. Right? Now again, is this the future? Right? For the Ibn Ezra, this is the future. He's saying, listen, I know you're adulterous, right? I know you're going to be unfaithful, but I'm begging you don't be unfaithful, even though I'm not coming back for a long time, right? You're going to Galut. This is going to be hard, right? And all the symbols of our love and our relationship, the Beit HaMikdash and all that, is not going to be there, right? If you think that this is a description of their current life, right, then this is part of, like the first parak, a description of the fact that this has been going on for a while. And the Yamim Rabim isn't that they're going to do Neof in the future. It's that because of what you're doing now, right? Meaning at this point, everyone agrees that we've switched to a prediction of the future. But the question is it because of what you did now, you're going to be in Galut for a long time, or because of what you're going to do, you're going to be in Galut for a long time? And now he's asking them, right, but be faithful. I know it's hard. I know it sounds crazy, right? It definitely, if you take it like the Malbim, or Elazar, or Gensi, right? He's paying a prostitute and saying, listen, here's a very high fee. You know, be a faithful to me, even though, you know, that's not exactly your profession. At some level, yes. Right? And then he says, Achar Yashuvu, Bnei Israel uvikshu et Adonai Eloheim ve David Malkam ufachadu al Adonai vel tuvo barach harid hayamim. And then at the end all of this, right, after the galut, what will happen? The Jews will search God, and this is an image that you find elsewhere in the Tanakh, uvikshu and Hashem Elokeim or vikashtem misham. That in the galut, at some point, because of the terrible things that are happening in galut, the goal is that at some point the travails of galut will wake the Jews up and they will seek out God. And David, right, which could be Mashiach, right, or more generally, right, they just want to return to, right, that situation where they have a Beit HaMikdash, where they have a king who helps them in their relationship with God. So how messianic this is, right, you could talk about. But whatever it is, at the end of this, they will return to God in a tshuva. And again, in the Gemara, there's a famous machloket, whether, right, what's the famous machloket in the Gemara? Gemara says, will galut end b'tshuva, or right, or we don't need tshuva, but then the Gemara says, even according to the people who say that you need tshuva, God promises that at some point, one way or the other, he'll make the situation such that we will do tshuva. Right? So they argue always about this. Is this a precondition? Right? Or a prediction. Or both. And then they will, right, they'll seek God and they'll seek David. Now with this, right, this 5 pasuk, perek really closes out this unit. And this part of the story seems to be the part that gives us the derech to tshuva. Right? Is that the first 2 prakim we're talking about God having a relationship with the Jews, not having a relationship, all the way around, right? Breaking his relationship with the Jews, bringing it back. And this parak is telling you that the way you do that, the way that ki'ilu you get God to remarry the Jews, or maybe their relationship wasn't really marriage, so marry them for the first time, or whatever metaphor is organizing this parak, is at some point to seek out God. Okay, so that is the end of this little story. From here on in, Hosea, until the end of Perek Yud Gimel, basically Hosea goes through their sins. We'll try to go through these parakim a little bit faster, right? Because there we'll see certain themes that are coming up over and over again, which is critique of the leaders, critique of their hedonism, avodah zarah, right? Those things are going to come up over and over again. So maybe we'll go through those a little bit faster than we did the first 3 parakim, which are, you know, a bit more, less repetitive and more shocking. Okay, let's stop with that for now.